Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 1, we finished verses 5 through 8. Let's listen as we start verses 9 through 11 today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you again to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Today, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and we've titled this, Two Extremes of Life. I hope you do have pencil and paper ready. I hope that you have your King James Bible. We'll be doing some word studies as we go throughout the book of James, and we want these things to be a very special blessing to you. And we want it to help you to grow in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that you write us. Let us know that you're listening. You may have a word of encouragement. You may have a question to ask us. We want to hear and know that our broadcast is being effective in your area. And that's how we many times determine where we're going to broadcast or if we need to move one area and try another area. And so we depend upon hearing from you. We're not asking for a gift. If you send a gift, that's great because everything goes back into this ministry and helps to expand the ministry of Lamp and Light. But again, we don't sit here and tell you, hey, you've got to send us so much money or I'm going to die or something like that. We don't do that. We're not going to start doing that. I will say this, that the tithes and offerings, we encourage you to put that in your local church. And then if God lays us on your heart to send us an offering, not your tithe, all right? Okay, we're in James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I hope you have your Bibles there and you're ready. And there it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now we read here, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. A Christian who is lacking in material things has undiminishing possessions in Jesus Christ. That is, if he is right in his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being materially poor is not spiritual. In and of itself, it's not virtuous. It is the relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. However, being right with God, walking with him, doesn't mean, oh, you're going to be materially prosperous, well-to-do, and never have to work real hard, that you'll be plenty well taken care of materially and have pleasures all around. No, don't expect that. That's not the way the Lord deals. The Lord deals in eternity. He deals in the matters of the spirit and soul. Now, what James is writing here could be easily misunderstood. If we believe that James wrote this letter to all mankind, then we're going to misunderstand what he's saying here. You see, James is written to those who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. It's to the Jew first, as a matter of fact. In James chapter 1, verse 1, he said, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so we see that at the very beginning of the letter that he was hitting Christian Jews first, but then also Christians in general. Now, this letter is not addressing or causing class envy. It's trying to steer away from that subject and look at the subject of the deep things of God. You see, the book of James is not trying to make the church a social welfare agency. We are not trying to make the world a better place to go to hell from. We're seeking souls for the Savior as our chief business. The poor in this world's goods have a standing before God that is equal to that of the richest saint. The redemption for the poor man's soul was just as great as that for the wealthiest sinner. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, a person may be very well-to-do. They may be very rich. And they would not drive their car hardly into the district of town where you may live. And they could not imagine wearing the kind of clothes you wear, driving the kind of vehicles that you may drive. They may not eat at the restaurants where you would eat. And everything they have is what this world would call first class. But when it comes to the matter of the soul, they are required to come to Jesus Christ in the same manner that you are, admitting their incapability, their lack of ability to be able to save themselves. They've got to admit they're sinners, they cannot be good enough to deserve heaven, and that they need a Savior who's done it all for them. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. They must be saved by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, the same as you or me. And all men that are saved through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved but that name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the redemption for the soul of the poorest man on earth has no greater a requirement than the salvation of the soul of the man who may be the richest man on earth. The work a brother or sister does for God is just as necessary and just as fruit-bearing as that of a rich man. Maybe more so. You see, God does not measure the way that you and I measure. Don't forget, Jesus Christ stood and watched as men entered into the temple, and they were throwing in this great amounts of money. But a poor widow, all she had was two mites, and she threw it in. And she gave more than they all. Stories told of a man who was very tight with his money, and yet he was very well to do. And they were having a drive in their church to raise funds for something, and they kept putting the pressure on this man. So finally he told the preacher coming forward one night in service, he says, preacher, I'm going to give the widows two mites. He stopped and praised the Lord for a few minutes there, and he told the people, guess what? Brother so-and-so here is going to give us enough money to cover every bit of this building project and some more. And he stopped. He said, wait a minute, I didn't say that. He said, oh yeah, you did. You said he's going to give the widows two mites. And you know, the widow gave all that she had. So if you're going to do like the widow, you're giving all that you have. Well, he let the man know right away where he stood, you know, that his great offering that he had thought was a scriptural thing, when he found out the scriptural application, he really didn't want to follow through on the offering. You know, someone may leave $1 million to the church, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think more of us Christians need to think about things. If you have wayward children, you have children and loved ones that are far away from God, and you leave them money that is going to be used for alcohol and this life's pleasures and kept from God, how is that going to be good and acceptable when you arrive in God's sight? Now, my friend, leaving something to your children is not speaking of material things. It's speaking of the spiritual heritage. Leave your children an example of honesty. Leave your children an example of faithfulness, of holiness, of righteousness. Leave that rich heritage to your children, my friend. Because riches, as birds, you know, they just form wings and they fly away. And what a waste for God to have trusted you with enough money that when you die, there's some left over, and then we give it to the world. Even if it's our children, we're giving it to the world, and the Lord's work suffers. Do you realize that if you tithe regularly to your local church, and as you tithe regularly, something happens to you and you die, that tithe is cut off. That tithe is no longer going to that local church, and someone else needs to step in and replace you. I think it's good for people to have in their wills maybe a life insurance policy that makes the beneficiary their local church. Now, having said all that, if the church is a church that has no idea of the gospel is not preached, or it holds the false doctrine, then you leave money to a church like that, then you are helping the devil's cause. Although that may not be the spirit in which you gave it. Now remember, in Romans chapter 10, Paul said the Jews had a great zeal, but it was without knowledge, and they needed salvation. My friend, having a great zeal but without knowledge is not a good thing. Now, it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. But my friend, if a church is not preaching the Word of God and it's watered down the gospel, it holds the false doctrine, that doesn't need our support. Giving it in a good spirit doesn't make it right. If your church gives, for example, to a program that supports missionaries and maybe universities, and those universities, some of those missionaries don't believe in the deity of Christ, they don't believe in the preservation of the Word of God, then, my friend, you are giving money to the devil's cause. And so, my friend, what I'm trying to do is show you that whether you're rich or poor, whatever you have is something that God has entrusted to you. It's not yours. You're just merely a steward of that possession. The man that wins his soul to the Lord has something that lasts for all eternity. As a result, the poor man may end up giving more than the rich man. He may give more time to God's work than the rich man. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.